Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. My name is Matt. I am your host. We're going to be here live for the next 58 minutes. I've usually got another show at another station for an hour and a half, so I had to think twice there. Today is February 27, 2016, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm very excited to be here today. This is the first show on 105.1 The Ranch here out of Cameron, and I'm excited to be here. So we're going to have a good time. A lot of information is going to be given out, so get your pens and paper ready or whatever type of notebook-taking apparatus you have, whether it be a smartphone, pad, pen, whatever. So get ready. We've got a lot of information going on here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, if you want to become part of the show, you can call up here at the studio at 254-697-6633. That's 254-697-6633. And I guess we actually have a toll-free number for anybody who's a long-distance call. It's 866-504-1051. Or you can send me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. That's aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Or go directly to the website aaronsgunshop.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've been doing this for quite a while. This is the first time here on this station, and normally what I do is an opinion piece. And today is going to be no different. I've got a couple articles that I'm going to read to you, and then I'm going to give to you my opinion piece on this when it comes to the concealed carry, the license to carry, open carry, campus carry. So I'm reading this to you from the Associated Press, and the headline reads, "Private Colleges Say No to Guns on Campus." And this is out of Austin. When Texas conservative legislature passed a law requiring public universities to allow concealed guns on campus, it also gave the state's private institutions of higher learning the chance to follow suit. No one has so far. More than 20 private schools have said they won't lift their gun bans when the law takes effect this August, including the state's largest private universities that have religious affiliations and often align with the type of conservative values espoused by the politicians behind the law. The opposition has not surprised top Texas Republicans who champion the law as a matter of constitutional rights and self-defense, but it reflects a widespread belief even among conservative university leaders that guns have no place in the classroom. Baylor, Texas Christian, and Southern Methodist universities have all declined to allow guns on their campus. "My own view is that it is very unwise public policy," Baylor President Ken Starr said. The Baptist school announced this month that guns would not be allowed on campus. Previous law generally banned concealed handguns from Texas public and private universities. That changed last year when lawmakers passed the so-called campus carry law that requires public universities to allow concealed handgun license holders to bring their weapons into campus buildings and classrooms. Texas will be one of at least 20 states that allow some form of campus carry, but only a few make it a defined right in state law like Texas does. Now, they just talked to you about the private ones, and they just mentioned about the public one. So I'm going to read a different article talking about the public one, and then I'm going to tell you my opinion. This, too, is Associated Press. "New Campus Gun Rules Okay." And again, this is out of Austin. "Concealed handguns will be allowed in University of Texas classrooms, but generally banned from dorms under rules begrudgingly approved Wednesday by the school's president, whose hand was forced by the new state law. Like many who study or work hard at the school in liberal Austin, the president opposes allowing guns on the roughly 50,000 student campus. Texas's universities had been gun-free zones under the state's previous concealed handgun laws, but the Republican-dominated legislature voted last year to force public universities to allow holders to bring their guns to campus starting August 1st. Now, this is the president talking. "I do not believe handguns belong on a university campus, so the decision has been the greatest challenge of my presidency." His decision to adopt the rules recommended by the campus and a study group that was done in December. "Gun rights activists insist the right to have weapons on campus falls under Second Amendment, and they call it critical self-defense measure. However, the so-called campus carry measure has met with fierce resistance from students, faculty, and other staff, including University of Texas System Chancellor William McCraven. He says, "The presence of handguns at an institution of higher learning is contrary to our mission of education and research, which is based on inquiry, free speech, and debate. Private schools are allowed to keep banning weapons, and the president noted most have opted to do so, including Baylor, Rice, Southern Methodist, and Texas Christian Universities, the largest and most influential private schools in the state." I continue. We're almost finished here. In most cases, a person must be 21 years old to get a gun license in Texas, which trims the gun-carrying student population a bit. And while licensed students will be allowed to bring their handguns to class, they won't be able to do so openly. That's a separate law that allows to the open carry of handguns doesn't apply on college campuses. Now, I highlighted this part here. Excuse me. Critics have predicted that allowing guns on campus will make it harder for schools to recruit top student and faculty. Gun-Free UT, a group of students, faculty, and staff, has said allowing guns in the classrooms will create a threatening atmosphere and chill free speech in academics. Well, on that comment, I say, baloney. Anyway, I'm going to read to you now, after you heard those two articles, my opinion piece on what I think. And let me tell you something about radio, ladies and gentlemen. Radio is a funny business. You could be here one day and gone the next. And because I know that, I stopped worrying about it. So the people who hear my opinion piece right now, some of you are going to like it, and some of you will not. If you don't like it, I don't really care. It's my opinion. Thank God and God bless America, we still have that right. But here we go. Now, on September 11, this is my opinion piece. On September 11, 2001, the world changed. For the worse, I may add. In an attempt to keep us safe, our government has done things that has your host, me, believes to be major failures in diplomacy, national defense, and personal protection. But here we are in 2016, and life is what it is, more dangerous than it was in 2001. Colleges, schools, businesses, and people in general seem to be in a state of suspended animation, especially our colleges when you read these articles or the ones I just read to you. How many school or college shootings does it take? How many dead bodies does it take? How much common sense does it take to realize that it's not business as usual anymore? If you were to ask me in 2001 if guns in colleges were a good idea, I most likely would have said, probably not. There's really no need for it. You're there to learn, etc., etc. I get it. I dig it. I'm totally into that. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not 2001. It's 2016, and jihad is happening all over the place if you haven't seen, heard, or read about it. So, those people who protest against people who have gone through the background checks, taken classes, and have qualified with their handgun, in my opinion, are clueless and have never been aggressed upon, had a gun pointed at them, had a gunfire past their head, or maybe not even foul language addressed to them. They are living in a fantasy world, and one day that fantasy is going to bite them. So my opinion is, to those of you who see a qualified, legal, honest citizen carrying a gun to a college or wherever, you should breathe a small sigh of relief that if, God forbid, something tragic did happen, at least there is someone or someones there with a gun who might be able to stop the crisis from getting any worse. But remember, with great power comes great responsibility. So to all of you who do carry a gun, be sure you know how to use it well. And if you don't, you come to me and take one of my classes. We've got it going. We start from the bottom floor and go to the penthouse with the training. So check us out, aaronsgunshop.com. Give me an email, aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Or give us a call here in the studio, 254-697-6633. All right, with that, I'm going to move on to the highlights of the show and let you know what's going on here today in the show. We've got a lot going on. Today's license to carry segment, and just so everybody here on the ranch, if you don't know already, I am licensed and certified with the state of Texas to teach license to carry classes. Been doing it for a long time, taught thousands of people, and I've got a long history behind that, so I kind of know what I'm doing here. But today's license to carry segment will cover suspensions and revocation of a license to carry. Now, this is something that doesn't happen too often, considering the number of people who now have their license to carry, but it is important that we touch on it anyway. And as always, I'm going to read three stories from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizen column and see what we can glean and learn from these stories. And at times, some of those stories can be pretty funny. So I think we've got a funny one in there today, I think, if I remember correctly. Today's PEP section, and just for you newbies out there, PEP stands for Practice Eliminates Panic or Preparation Eliminates Panic. Today it's going to be Preparedness Eliminates Panic, and we're going to go over the reuse of common household products that may normally just be thrown out after their initial use. And this should prove interesting. And actually, you know, depending on how this goes, I may postpone that and talk to you about another form of preparation through a law enforcement benefit competition. I actually may be doing that instead. Now, my topic of interest segment, I'm going to be talking about idioms, gun idioms to be specific. And if you don't know what an idiom is, you'll know quite well after this segment. So check it out. I think you'll have fun with this. Today's product spotlight will go over the differences between a rifle tube for an AR rifle and a pistol tube for an AR pistol, and why they must be put on the proper guns and what can happen if you don't do it correctly. Now, because I have a gun range, 25-yard indoor gun range, I get to see lots of people shoot and load their magazines for automatic rifles or pistols. Some load them with ease, others cry out for help when it comes to loading a magazine. So on today's gun training demo, I'm going to be talking about how to load a magazine for an automatic pistol to make it a little bit easier for those who are having trouble with it. Now, my special guest, ladies and gentlemen, my next show will be at 12 o'clock on the KTEM 1400 AM station. That's KTEM 1400 AM at 12 o'clock, and it goes from 12 to 1:30 AM. At the 1 o'clock hour, actually from 12 to 1, we'll probably be repeating most of this show. And then at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be having a special guest on. His name is Tony Williams from the Customs Canines. And I've asked Tony to come on to discuss how he trains his or your dogs for personal protection, distraction, I guess he called it distraction work, distance work, therapy service dogs, and Christ therapy dogs. This is going to be new information for me, so I'm going to be quite interested to hear what he has to say, and I think you might find it kind of interesting, too, if you're a pet lover. Now, as always, if we have time, I'm going to read to you a WTF moment, a what-the-heck moment. And some are good moments, but most seem to make you just sit back and wonder and say, what the heck's going on in this world? Okay, so that's what's coming up on the show. So with no further delays, I'm going to get right into it. We're going to move right into the license to carry, formerly called CHL. Now, if any of you have a CHL, it's now called a license to carry. The CHL is concealed handgun license. Now, because you're able to carry open or concealed, they call it the license to carry. And we're going to be talking today about suspension, revocation of a license to carry. And once again, we don't really go over this much because most people don't get themselves in these situations, but it does still happen. And because of that, I'm going to read to you out of our trusty little student handbook, The Law Concerning Suspension and Revocation of a License to Carry. So we're going to go to my book here, and from it, we're going to read here in Section 3, Suspension, Revocation of a License to Carry. So all you people out there thinking about getting a license, or all those of you who already have one, listen up, here we go, this is what it says in the law book. Number one. If a license is suspended, it's taken away from the license holder and returned at the end of the suspension. Even if the license holder does not surrender the license, it is inactivated during the suspension period and the suspended license holder cannot carry under the authority of the license to carry during the suspension period. A suspended license holder may be charged with unlawfully carrying a weapon if they carry a handgun during the suspension period. A license is subject to suspension for the following reasons. The license holder is charged with the commission of a felony, a Class A or B misdemeanor, or disorderly conduct. Or the license holder fails to notify the department of a change of address or name as required by the statute. Ladies and gentlemen, that one's a big one. It's so silly, so stupid of a mistake, but it happens to so many people, changing your name and address, like on your driver's license and CHL. Now, the license holder fails to return a previously issued license after a modified license is issued. I've got to check on that. Something seems wrong with that because a modification was going from a revolver to an automatic. So I have to check on that one, but that's what it's saying here in the book. A court may suspend a license to carry when issuing a protective order against the license holder. The court will notify the department of the suspension, and the department will record the suspension. A suspension for this reason will last as long as the protective order is in force. If a license holder is suspended a second time for the same reason, the license is suspended for 1 to 3 years. That was talking about suspensions. Now, let's get into if a license is revoked. If a license is revoked, it is taken away permanently. Even if the license holder does not surrender the license, it is permanently inactivated, And if a revoked license holder later becomes eligible for the license, the individual must completely reapply as a new applicant. A license is subject to revocation for the following reasons. The license holder was not entitled to the license at the time it was issued. The license holder gave false information on the application or failed to disclose a material fact. That's a big hit right there. The license holder subsequently becomes ineligible for the license. The license holder is convicted of an offense under Penal Code Section 46035, unlawful carry of a weapon by a license holder, and we go over that in detail in my class, and I'll be talking to you about a class real soon here. The license holder engages in suspendable conduct after being previously suspended twice for the same reason. The license holder submits an application fee that is dishonored or reversed if the applicant fails to submit a cashier's check or money order made payable to DPS in the amount of the dishonored or reversed fee plus a $25 kicker within 30 days of being notified by the department that the fee was dishonored or reversed. In other words, don't write a check and bounce a check to DPS. You'll be paying cash or money order for the rest of your life. A license holder whose license was revoked because the fee was dishonored or reversed may reapply for an original license or renew the license at any time provided the application fee and dishonored payment charge of $25 is paid by cashier's check or money order made payable to DPS. A person whose payment for a fee is required by this subchapter is dishonored or reversed must pay any future fee required by this subchapter by cashier's check or money order made payable to Texas Department of Public Safety. A fee received by the department under the subsection is non-refundable. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There is a lot of stuff to learn when it comes to getting your license to carry in the open, license to carry. There's so much to go on. You've got to go to a very good instructor who knows what they're doing, has it laid out, and can get it into your brain somehow. I'm very knowledgeable in this area. I'm very dramatic in my classes. I do skits and all this, whatever I can do to get it to stick into your brain. We have a class coming up on March 13th. That's a Sunday. It's a license to carry class. However, this is a bonus package, and I want to tell you about it. Normally, I do a training seminar separately from a license to carry. On March 13th, Sunday, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm combining the two classes. I'm putting a license to carry class with one of my home and self-defense training seminars. So not only are you going to get the basic required hours that the state requires for your license to carry, but you're going to get advanced training. So when you walk out that door by about 6 o'clock in the evening, you're going to feel very comfortable with what you're doing. We're going to be going over the required laws from the state of Texas. We're going to be going over malfunctions. We're going to be going over the way guns work. You're going to learn how to shoot multiple times, multiple targets, command shooting. You're going to learn how to go and clear your room in a house just in case. You'll be aggressed upon in our shoot house. It's going to be all sorts of great training. So if you want to check that out, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the High Cap Adventure page, and in the top left-hand corner, you'll see the flyer that I'm talking about. You can sign up right there online. If you have any questions, let me know and give us a call. Okay, with that, I'll talk about that again a little bit later. But right now, as the time is ticking, I'm going to move over now into our NRA, the Armed Citizen section. And this is going to be good. We're going to read some stories, and then your host here is going to give you some commentary on what he believes is good or bad about the particular story. But in this section, I'm going to read to you three stories from the NRA's Armed Citizen page of the American Rifleman. And hopefully, from these true stories, we can learn what to do and what not to do, and maybe even get a laugh or two in the process. It all depends on the story. Now, if you're not a member of the NRA, you might consider becoming one. The more gun supporters they have, the more power they have to stop bad legislation. So if you're not a member, you might want to consider. And I know a lot of people have an issue with the NRA sometimes, but if you think about it, they're a force to be reckoned with, and that's what we need for us gun lovers who want to maintain our rights. All right, the Armed Citizen, story number one. This is taken from March 2016. It reads, Pennsylvania authorities have ruled that a Reading man was justified in the fatal shooting of a 17-year-old who was assaulting him. The man had no choice, Berks County District Attorney John T. Adams said in reports. He was literally lying on the ground being beaten up when he fired his gun. Adams said the robbery assault victim was jumped by three teens who knocked him to the ground and started kicking and punching him. While one assailant held the victim down, the other two rummaged through the man's pocket. The Reading man reached his own gun and fired one shot into the air. That scared off the two teens, but the armed one, who held him down, stayed there. The armed citizen then fired multiple shots at the teen, killing him. my commentary. Number one, I'm kind of at a loss for words on this one. Actually, I'm just disgusted that three teens would do harm to an elderly person. Sure, I know it's a common occurrence, but that's where good upbringing should come into play. I just see a lot of youth out there who seem to be missing their direction and causing a lot of problems. Hopefully, us older persons can somehow get a relationship with these people and get them guided in the right direction. Number two, notice how the chicken butt bad guys have to stay in a pack to overcome an elderly person. And then three, the man refusing to be a victim showed to all the importance of having an equalizer, having a gun and knowing how to use it. Okay, that's story number one. Story number two, once again, from March 2016. If you're thinking about conducting business through an online ad, be aware that not all sellers are good people. A pair of Aiken, South Carolina residents thought they would buy a car responding to a private online ad. When they met the sellers to check out the car, the two strangers pulled out guns and demanded that the car shoppers hand over all their money. While the would-be robbers pointed their guns at the mail bar, his girlfriend pulled out her legally owned handgun and fired, killing one bad guy. Police are seeking his accomplice. My commentary. Number one. Ladies, although many of the times you are the one in more danger in a situation like this, you have the upper hand. Being underestimated, you may have the chance to save the day. Two, however, if you don't train and become prepared and ready, you too could fall victim. Self-defense is not a part-time job. It's 24/7, and never underestimate your opponent. Okay, that's story number two. Story number three. Karen Duncan is a petite woman, but a firearm allowed her to save her neighbor's life even though a much larger assailant was attacking him with a knife. One day in December, Duncan heard a neighbor's distressed cry of help. "He's trying to kill me. Help. Help. Help me," he said. She grabbed her purse with her legally owned handgun inside, and went to investigate. She first tried using words to persuade the assailant to stop. When that didn't work, she pulled out the gun and told him she was ready to shoot. At that, the attacker tossed down the knife, and then Duncan wasn't the only armed citizen who came to help. Ron Childress, a neighbor and former law enforcement officer, also heard the cries for help. After he arrived to back up Duncan, Childress told the suspect to spread his arms and legs and not to move. Duncan called 911 while Childress held the assailant at bay. Now, here's my commentary on that story. This is a great story because it covers so many things. A, situational awareness. She heard, she listened, and she responded. B, she then used nonviolent dispute resolution, but that didn't work. She attempted it, but it didn't work. And C, since that didn't work, she used Penal Code 904. That's threat is justifiable force, and that worked. So number two, in my conclusion, Miss Duncan kept her cool and took control of a possible death situation. Three, I'm checking my records to see if she took my training class, because she did everything right. She was a situational awareness. She used nonviolent dispute resolution to the best she could. And then she used Penal Code 904, threat is justifiable force. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of penal code that you have to learn. A lot of important stuff that you have to learn. You have to be prepared, mind, body, and soul. You got to know how to use your weapon and use it well. And I try to train people as much as I can never to pull out that weapon by training them harder in the other areas that avoid the situation, if at all possible, in the first place. So the whole concept here is you carry a gun when times are bad and you're in the corner and you have no other options. I get out a deck of playing cards. I tell people, I can teach this class to you in 5 hours, 10 hours. I can teach this class to you in a month, or I can teach it to you in 30 seconds. So I'll teach it to you in 30 seconds real fast. You don't get a certificate for this, but I'll tell you how it works. I pull out the ace card and I say, the ace, that's the ace up your sleeve. That's the gun you're carrying. Then you pull out all the picture cards. And I ask people, if a situation happens to you, what could you do to get out of it? And some people say, well, call 911. I say, okay, there you go. I throw a picture card down, 911. What else? How about run away? Very good. Throw another picture card down. What about nonviolent dispute resolution? Try to talk your way out of it. Okay, there goes another card. How about unarmed defensive tactics? Cool. Another card. What about tools of opportunity? Great, that's another picture card. The whole point here is we keep going until we run out of picture cards. When you run out of picture cards, what do? You pull out your ace card, your gun. What's the trick? What's the story learned here? The story, or the moral of the story, is to have as many picture cards as you can. The more picture cards or buffers or barriers or firewalls that you have between you and the threat, the more chance you have of getting out of there without having to draw your weapon. So that's that on that. Now, once again, we've got a class on March 13th. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page. Check out the flyer. You can see what's happening there. And I'll make this call, too. For all of you students out there who I've taught before, if you can hear me and you want to take this advanced class for a refresher class or whatever, any student who's taken a class from me before can get $60 off the price of this course. So just go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the High Cap Adventures page. All right, we're about the halfway mark here on the hour. So what we're going to do is take a break. And when we come back, we're going to go over a couple more pieces of information here and a whole bunch more stuff. So, Anita, let's take a break real quick and we'll come back on the other side.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is February 27th, 2016. We're live here. I'm your host, Matt, and we're going to be here for about another 30 minutes. Now, we talked to you before, just a minute ago, about license to carry. I just want to say, talk to you about it one more time. If you don't have your license to carry, formerly called the CHL, you need to go to aaronsgunshop.com. And when there, go to the license to carry page, and there you'll find the upcoming classes that we offer, the one I specifically told you about. And if you don't want to take that advanced class with the class, we have separate license to carry classes as well. One's going to be announced soon. So if you're interested in that, just go to the website there and check it out. If you know anybody else who wants to join you, if you've got five or more, I'll set up a class for you specifically. But get a license and defend yourself now. The course is approximately 5 hours. And that includes your written and shooting test. And the course fee is $60. You won't be bored. And I've been teaching for a long time, many, 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 many people. And I got lots of tricks up my sleeve. So you're going to learn a lot of things. I love to teach you. We'll have a good time. So go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the licensed carry page to sign up for a class now. They fill up quick. So if you're interested in doing one soon, check it out real fast. And we'll get you signed up. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, normally what I do on my PEP section is do stuff for prepper, survival, kind of neat things to know on just stuff that you have around the house, what you can use it for. But today I think I'm going to switch it up. We've got something special going on March 11th. I used to do this before and somehow it got stopped. We're bringing it back in here. It's going to be the High Cap Adventures Law Enforcement Benefit Shoot. We're going to have a competition. And basically what it is, it's going to be for fun. And the way it works is there's going to be teams of five shooters. Anybody can form up a team. The team has to have five people. And you can shoot for a department of your choice. You're going to be competing against other teams. And whoever wins gets the prizes, and they send them to the department, so on and so forth. But it's a lot of fun. The team entry fee is $100 for a five-person team. And the deadline to register is March 4th. And it's going to be Friday. The actual law enforcement benefit is going to be Friday at 7 p.m. That's March 11th this year. And if you want more details, I'm going to talk about it a little bit more, but if you want more details, you can visit the website, aaronsgunshop.com. You can give me a call at the shop, 254-697-4721, or you can send me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. And once again, it's the Law Enforcement Benefit Shoot-Off. My team, the one I'm forming, I'm going to be hosting the Cameron Police Department. So if you've got somebody out there, and this goes for law enforcement too, you do not have to be wearing a badge to be a team member on the team. It could be anybody. It could be anybody who's a gun enthusiast who likes to shoot, wants to form up a team, and you could say, hey, DPS, or hey, Sheriff's Department, or hey, Milano Police Department. It doesn't matter who it is or what department it is. If you're a badge, you want a team of badges on there, fine. If you're not wearing a badge, you want to get a team of like-minded people, great. If you got a few people who don't have a badge, a couple people do have a badge, it doesn't matter. Form up a team, decide who you want to shoot for, and if you win, you get to donate those prizes to that team. And we have a revolving trophy. It's a beautiful trophy. If you go onto the website, aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you get to see a picture of the trophy. It's a huge eagle carrying the American flag, sitting on a pedestal, or standing on a pedestal, and it's got the plaque there. It's called the revolving trophy. And what happens is when the winning team determines who's going to get it, that police department or law enforcement agency gets to hold on to that trophy for the year, until we have the competition the next year. So it's really pretty, real nice, and it's a lot of fun. And people ask me, well, what's the competition all about? How does it work? Well, this is the fun part, too. It's what we call our round-robin competition. And we do our competitions every second Friday of the month. And normally, though, it's for individual winners. So I'll give you an example of how it works. If you've got five people going up to the competition, and they put their weapons on the booth, each person puts their weapon on the booth. Each person stands behind their weapon. In front, downrange, are five targets. And on those targets, on each target, there's five circles. And each circle is numbered 1 through 5. So when you have your first shooter, I give each shooter a number 1 through 5. So if the first shooter steps up to the booth, he's going to pick up the gun. It's going to be loaded with 5 rounds. He's going to pick up the first gun, which will be his. He's going to look at the first target and find the number one on that target, and he's going to shoot all 5 rounds. As soon as he's done shooting that, he's going to put the gun down and move over to the next booth where the next person's gun is lying. He's going to pick up a gun he probably hasn't shot before, load it up, aim at the second target, but only aim at the number one on the second target and shoot 5 rounds. Then he's going to put that gun down, go to the third person, then the fourth person, and then the fifth person. You're going to have 50 seconds to do that. It's a lot of fun. And then the next person, the number two person, everybody rotates one position. The second person goes up to the booth and does the same thing over and over again. So you have five people going through it. Whoever has the most points wins the contest. Whoever has the least amount of time wins the contest if there's a tie. And if there is a tie and we can't beat it through points and time, we'll have the best person from each team shoot off against each other. So there's a lot of ways to have fun. It's not for the expert shooter. It can be for anybody from novice to expert shooter. I've seen so many expert shooters do my competition and spit up all over themselves because they're so used to using their handgun that the person who may not be as good as the other person has the equal advantage because slow and steady wins the race. You get one of these guys who think they're really good at shooting their particular handgun, and it comes time to shoot a different handgun, it slows them down, whereas the somewhat novice or not as good a shooter picks up the gun at a steady pace and slow and steady wins the race. So once again, everybody, go tell everybody you know who may be interested in supporting your local law enforcement. Whether you win or not, it doesn't matter. It contributes and helps departments around here, and it's a lot of fun. It gets everybody together, and we can have a good time. So once again, it's the High Cap Adventures first annual law enforcement benefit shoot-off. Teams of five shooters each. The entry fee is $100. Deadline to register is March 4th. And there's going to be a flyer on the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Once it's corrected, we had the wrong date on there, so we're correcting that now. But it's going to be Friday, March 11th, 2016 at 7 p.m. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, check it out, or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Okay, let's move on here. I want to talk to you. Some things interest me. A lot of things interest me. And so I made a section in my program called Topic of Interest. And so what I talk about in Topic of Interest are kind of things that interest me, and hopefully it's going to interest you. And in the course of my life, ladies and gentlemen, in my studies, and just me using them in life, the use of idioms can be both useful and perplexing. And what I mean by that is useful that the idiom expresses much more meaning that what one word by itself could do, but also perplexing to those not familiar with what the idiom is that's being used. Now, in the gun world, there are a lot of idioms. And today I'm going to read to you 10 idioms that are gun-related. But first, as you may know, if you listen to me on my other program, and if you don't know, I'm a stickler when it comes to definitions. So let me read to you the definition of an idiom. Not an idiot, but an idiom, before we get started here. Okay. An idiom. It's a noun. Number one, a group of words established by usage as having a meaning not deducible from those individual words. Example, it's raining cats and dogs, or seeing the light. You know, it's pouring rain out. We say it's raining cats and dogs. Well, it's not raining cats and dogs, but that's the expression we use. It's an idiom. Seeing the light. Oh, man, I get it. I see the light now. That's an idiom. Or it's a characteristic mode of expression in music or art. Whatever. I don't get that one. But okay. Now that we know what an idiom is, let me read to you 10 gun-related idioms and what their meanings are. Now, there's many more, but I figured that 10 would surely hit the mark. And if you caught that, hit the mark, that's an idiom. So let's check it out. Here we go. I've got 10 idioms. Let's read them. Let's see what they say. The first one here, a smoking gun. I guess its definition is information which proves without doubt that someone committed a crime. That's a smoking gun. And if you got some of your own idioms and you want to call in, it's 697-6633 here at the studio. It's 254. Next one, a son of a gun. A man who is unpleasant, who has made you angry. Or, it's a way of showing affection. Ah, you son of a gun, you. Or, a way to refer to an object which is causing problems for you or making you angry. I say a son of a gun a lot when it comes to that one. A way to refer to an object which is causing problems for you or making you angry. A son of a gun. I think we have different words that people use, but a son of a gun kind of hits the mark there. Number three. How about being under the gun? Being under the gun. To feel anxious because you have to do something by a particular time or in a particular way. I'm under the gun constantly with this radio program and my other radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've never done a radio show, it's a lot of work. For a small segment of time in the course of a 24-hour day, it takes about a week's worth of preparation if you want to do it right. Give it the gun. To make a motor or engine run faster, to rev up an engine, give it the gun. Number five, how about gun shy? We've all heard this one. Frightened of using a gun or by the sound of one firing, or hesitant or wary of something or some action, especially after having previously suffered a negative experience of such. Guys, you go up and want to ask this girl to dance, and they say, get out of here, no way. You're like, you're kind of gun-shy to go to the next girl. See how that comes into play? All right. Let's go to number six. How about a hired gun? A person who is hired to kill someone. Or, a person employed to provide armed protection or fight on behalf of someone. Or, a person who is especially skilled at attaining power for others, such as a lobbyist or a politician, a hired gun. I'm going to read that one again because I don't like that one. A person who is especially skilled at attaining power for others, such as lobbyists or politicians. Jumping the gun, to start before the starting signal. How many times have you seen in a track and field event? You got the 100-yard dash, the guys are all lined up, gals are lined up, the guy with the starter pistol raises his hand, and all of a sudden, bam, somebody goes. They didn't shoot the gun yet. They jumped the gun. Number 8, sticking to one's guns. That is, hold fast to a statement, opinion, or course of action. This expression alluded to a gunner remaining at his post dates from about the 1800s. Think of all the men and women who remained at their post. They stuck to their gun when a normal person probably would have left. But because that brave soul stuck to their guns, they turned the tide of the battle. So God bless those guys and gals. Number 9, putting a gun to someone's head. To force someone to do something he or she does not want to do, especially by the use of threats or intimidation. Not necessarily with an actual gun, though. Putting a gun to someone's head. Have you ever seen those Saturday Night Live skits where you've got the president of a third world country sitting in front of the camera and he's talking and all you see is the barrel of the AK sticking at the side of the screen? Well, that's putting a gun to someone's head, just for fun illustration purposes. Number 10, with guns blazing. If you do something, especially argue, with guns blazing, you do it with a lot of force and energy. Guns a-blazing. Those are idioms. Those are gun idioms. I'm sure there's a heck of a lot more idioms out there, and there are. But here's, I'm going to give you a list of some other ones. I'm not going to read the definitions. I'm just going to give you a list of some other ones just to give you an idea how many there are out there. You've got half-cocked, lock, stock, and barrel. As soon as you hear these, you're going to know, oh, yeah, I've heard these before. Hot as a pistol. Hot as a $2 pistol. Pistol packing mama. Use the shotgun approach. Straight shooter. He's on target. Guy just went ballistic. Shooting from the hip. Flash in the pan. That guy's faster than a speeding bullet. He wears a red cape, too. Keep your powder dry. Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just glad to see me? Who can tell me who said that? Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just glad to see me? 697-6633. Shotgun wedding. And then the last one here is shooting blanks. Guys, shooting blanks. Okay. All right, so there you have it. That's my topic of interest, gun idioms. If you got some of your own, and you can tell me which one that was that I was telling you about. Let's see. Let me read it to you one more time. It was... Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Who said that? If you know it, give me a call, 697-6633. If you call up and tell me, you give me the right answer, I'll give you a gun poster, okay? All right, Neil, let's take a break here. We'll come back. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other side, when we come back from our break, I'm going to do a product spotlight, and we'll do a gun training demo. So we'll see you on the other side.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I'm Matt, your host, and again, today is February 27, 2016, and we continue on with the product spotlight. Ladies and gentlemen, I have very good friends. I got friends all over the place. I'm very blessed to have so many friends that I have, and many are so skilled in what they do. I've got Blackjack Firearms here in Cameron, John Ferguson, Stephen Husher. They have Blackjack Firearms, and we're talking all the time. They're gun manufacturers. They live right across the road from me, and we just have the opportunity to talk, and I go there, and we're discussing guns, parts, accessories, so on and so forth. And if you've listened to my other shows on KTEM 1400, which I'll be doing at 12 o'clock after this show, I'll be racing to Temple to go to the other show. It's 1400 AM KTEM. We talk about this a lot. We've been talking about many guns, many products, and so on and so forth. But today, I want to talk about the AR buffer tubes. And if you go to Blackjack Firearms, bjfirearms.biz, they're going to have all these things on their website, and you can call them up if you have any questions after this program. But if you go there, I always talk about how their business is like a restaurant, because the meat and potato is the gun, and your vegetables and your side dishes are all the accessories that go with the gun, and all the experience and all the little things that you can do to the firearm. So if you have an AR-15 already or an AK-47 and you want to modify, upgrade, and things of that nature, go to bjfirearms.biz. If you want to buy one, you go there too. But I want to talk to you today about buffer tubes. AR pistol buffer tubes. And today, I'm recording here. Normally, we have YouTube feeds on the KTEM channel, but I'm going to be doing it here on this station as well. We're just getting our ducks lined up. So I'm going to be showing this in the video that I'm taking, and we'll post it later. But right now, right here, this is a AR rifle tube, and you'll notice that you'll see the holes in the bottom side of it. Stand by, what do you got here? Yes, Mae West. And you're absolutely correct. We asked who made the quote of, hey, are you happy? Is that a gun in your pocket? Are you just happy to see me? And the answer is Mae West. Okay, I got your number. I'll call you. We'll make sure we get you a poster. Thanks a lot for calling in. Okay, back to this here, the AR buffer tube. This one is for a rifle. You'll notice that it has at the bottom side of it, it's got the holes for where the stock slides on it. It can adjust in four positions. They have other ones with six position locks. That is an AR-15 rifle buffer tube. This one here that I'm showing in the video is a smooth buffer tube. You notice there is no bottom side to it. It's strictly round. There's no way to attach a stock that can adjust. That's an AR pistol buffer tube. Now, where does this come into play? What are they? The buffer tube for an AR allows the bolt and the buffer tube and spring to go into the tube, compress, and then shoot itself back forward. So this buffer tube allows that to happen. It has the compression of the spring and the buffer tube in the tube, the bolts coming back, extracting a round from the chamber, and then it's being catapulted back into the chamber, locking in a new round. That's the purpose of a buffer tube when it comes to an AR pistol. What's the difference? I showed you. One has the holes on the bottom, and I'm showing this in the video, which we'll have posted up on YouTube later. Go to Aaron's Gun Shop channel on YouTube, and we'll check it out. And this one here has nothing, okay? Now, how can you get in trouble, or what does one go on, and what's the other one go on? Well, an AR pistol buffer tube goes on a pistol, AR pistol. The rifle one goes on a rifle. So what's the difference? Well, let me show you here. I've got my faithful little AR pistol that Blackjack Firearms built for me specifically to my design. I love it. Everybody who shoots it loves it. Let's see if you can see it right here. I'm going to move this mic. If you hear some noise, that's what I'm doing. Ladies and gentlemen, what's the first thing you do when you get a weapon in your hand? That's right. You check to make sure it's not loaded. So the first thing we're going to do, we keep our finger off the trigger. We're going to take the magazine out of this weapon. There is no ammunition in the magazine. I'm going to pull the charging handle to the rear. The chamber is clear. Nothing in the mag well is either. This weapon is clear, and now it's on safe. Okay. If you'll notice, I'm showing this again in the video. Here's the buffer tube without any holes on the bottom to put a stock. That is what I have on this weapon right here. It's a slick tube, so it makes it legal, because this gun has less than a 16-inch barrel, which turns it into a pistol. It must have a 16-inch barrel or greater and have an overall length, and I always forget this, it's either 26 or 27 inches, 7 inches. I'll play it safe, we'll say 27 inches. Because this does not fall in that parameter, it's a pistol, so I cannot put a tube on here that has the ability to put a stock. Otherwise, it becomes a short barrel rifle, and if you don't have a license and don't pay the mafia, I mean, don't pay the government, they're $200, you get in trouble, okay? You can't be putting it on your shoulder and all this. It's a pistol. So, if I was to put this rifle tube, with the one with the holes on it, on this AR pistol and then put a stock on it, I'd be in a lot of trouble. So the differences between this, of these two items here, once again, they've got the holes that can adjust the stock, holes that can adjust the stock. It actually looks like this, this downward part. The plastic stock goes on it, and it compresses to make the gun short. Depending on your shoulder, your trigger length of pull, you adjust out your stock accordingly, and it locks into those holes. The AR pistol buffer tube can't do that, so it's legal to put on an AR pistol if the barrel is shorter than 16 inches. If it's 16 inches or more and you want to put a rifle stock on it, you use the one with the holes. Okay? Now, you can also, on this gun, I don't know if you've heard about it before, but a Sig Sauer arm brace. You could put an arm brace on here that looks like a stock, but it doesn't attach and click. You can just slide it on. It has no stock clicking capabilities, which makes it legal. It looks like a rifle stock, but the big hype now is you can't put that on your shoulder either. I can go over all these details, or John or Steve can go over that. Go to bjfirearms.biz. If you have an AR-15 platform, whether it be a pistol or a rifle, and you want to either convert it through paperwork or add on to it or upgrade it, go to bjfirearms.biz. They do a great job. I can't tell you how many things they've done for me, and I'm extremely pleased with what they've got. Okay, so that's that. Let me move on now because time's a ticking here. I'm kind of long-winded on my opinion piece, so it kind of screwed me up here on the rest of the timing. But I want to see if I can get in here my training demo. I see a lot of people, they have problems loading their pistol magazines. So you think it would be easy, but many people have a very difficult time loading a magazine for a handgun. And usually, ladies, I don't mean to be upsetting here, but usually it's women who have a hard time loading their magazines, or persons with weak hands, or persons who are novices at shooting in general and just don't know the basic technique. Now, it's okay, though, because there are answers for each one of these categories of persons who cannot easily load a handgun magazine. There's a few different aspects as to why it is difficult. So let's go over those, then we can fix the problems. We've already touched on the weak hands and the limited skills, but there are more reasons why a handgun magazine can be hard to load. First of all, the magazine is brand new, and the spring in the magazine is very strong and is not broken in yet, so that could be part of your problem. Secondly, the follower of an awkward design, which makes the magazine hard to load at times. I've seen that lots of times. And then thirdly, the magazine lips, which keep the ammo from popping back out, have very sharp edges, or pointy and hurt your fingers when you're loading. Now, some people wish to load the ammunition into the magazine backwards, which can make it difficult to load. And I'm trying to be nice on this one. They actually load the ammunition backwards, and that happens to a lot of novices. I understand why. It's a quick recognition or a quick fix of the problem. Once they understand how it works, then, man, they're good to go. Or there's the improper grip on the magazine and improper use of your fingers on the support hand. Okay, now that I've listed some of the reasons as to why it's hard to load a handgun magazine for some people, let me explain how we can overcome these challenges. The old tried and true method of breaking in a magazine spring is to load the mag to full capacity and then just leave it loaded for a while. The spring will learn what it has to do and how tough it has to be to make the magazine function properly and to make it easier for you to load in the future. That's the tried and true method. If you have a magazine follower that is shaped funny, what you need to do is to learn the easiest way to load the first round. After the first round, the rest should be easy to load. And this is learned by trial and error, of course. If the magazine lips are sharp and pointy, you can do what I do. Sell the gun and buy a 1911. Okay? I always tell people, when you buy a 1911, you grew up. 1911 is like one of the best perfect handguns out there. Okay, now, loading ammo in the magazine backwards is a common happening with new shooters. Once they're shown the errors of their ways, they don't usually repeat the same mistake. And I always tell people, flat to flat. The flat side of the cartridge is in the same direction as the flat side of the magazine. That's one way to remember it. And I'm going to show here on video, too, a couple ways to do that. If we have enough time, I'm running out of time here. Now, what do I mean by proper and grip? The improper grip of holding a magazine. It's just, you hold the magazine in your hand with the thumb of your hand over the top of the magazine. The tip of your thumb lines up with the edge of the mag lips so that it becomes a guide when loading the mag with your other hand. Now, of course, they have mag loaders to assist you in many designs, but to me, they become a crutch. using a mag loader is like drinking coffee with cream and sugar. You become dependent on the cream and sugar to be able to drink it. So if you drink coffee black for a while and don't put cream and sugar in it, then you don't have to gag on how sweet it is when you have the cream and sugar in it. And by drinking coffee black, you don't have to worry about being dependent on cream and sugar. Mag loaders are the same way. Learn how to load the mag, and you won't need a mag loader in the future. So I'm going to try and show this very quickly on the video here. And stand by, I've got to get my assistant tool here. I've got two different mags. I've got a single stack mag. You can see that in the video. It's a single stack mag. And what I mean by a single stack mag is one round goes on top of the other when you're loading the mag. The high capacity mag is a staggered mag. I put one round in, and then the second round kind of offsets it, and then the third round offsets that, so it zigzags as it goes into the mag so that you can have a whole bunch of rounds zigzagging back and forth. But let me show you really quick on this video here, and maybe you can follow along just by listening and if I can explain it properly. I'm holding the magazine in my hand firmly, and I'm putting my thumb over the top of the magazine. Now, you'll notice where the lips are. See the lips right here? When you go check out this video, you'll see the little lips. That holds the cartridge in. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I'm putting a round in. Those lips hold the cartridge into place. So what I do is, for the first round and rounds after that, I put my thumb over the magazine so that it's right at the edge of those lips. And then I use my fingernail as a guide to push the first one in. And then I do that at the same time for the second round, third round, and fourth round. And that's how it loads in. On a high-capacity mag, if you notice in the video here how it's kind of like on an angle, if you can get the first one in, then you put your thumb back over the top like I showed you the first time, push it down a little bit, and now you got your guide. Just go straight in there. So that's how you load your mag. But you don't want to load your mag in backwards. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Because it's a new show and I'm not really set up here the way I'm normally at my other studios, I'm run out of time. I'm going to have to cut this off short. Next week will be much better, I'm sure. But until that time, if you want to check me out on KTEM 1400 at 12 o'clock, I'd love to talk to you. Probably about the same stuff, and we have an extra half an hour. So until then, God bless and keep your powder dry.
On the air and on the web at KMIL.com, this is 1051 The Ranch. The Ranch is KMIL, Cameron, Rockdale, Academy.